Well, from compromise to emotions like fear, humiliation and hope, which my guest will argue are a key to properly understanding and predicting international relations this coming interesting century. You can ignore, or you can even deride, the study of emotions, but at your own risk, he says, because emotions will come back with a vengeance. The influential French political scientist Dominique Moisy believes that emotions drive many public policy decisions and that to ignore them is to pass up a significant tool in promoting international harmony. His new book takes the risk of entering this tricky area of judging whole nations' moods and temperament. It's called The Geopolitics of Emotion: How Cultures of Fear, Humiliation and Hope Are Reshaping the World. And I'll let him explain which sections of the globe he ascribes different emotional tags to. Dominique Moisy is the founder and senior advisor at the French Institute for International Relations. Welcome back to Saturday Extra, Dominique.
Good morning to you.
Dominique, some have said in reviewing your book that it's a response to Samuel Huntington's controversial The Class of Civilizations. Do you see it in this light, your work?
Well, initially, yes. It started as an article in Foreign Affairs in which I was revisiting Samuel Huntington's Clash of Civilization. And I was, in fact, trying to answer in a more humanistic, tolerant, and open way. I mean, when he published his article in 1993 and then his book in 1996, I felt greatly disturbed by the oversimplified and negative vision he was communicating. So this is how the clash of emotion, the geopolitics of emotion, came about.
Interestingly, a rabbi, I was on a panel just recently with the chief rabbi of Norway, who's actually been in the Israeli cabinet, and he said something very interesting. He said, we actually need a bit more ideology and a bit less identity politics at the moment. I'm just wondering whether, in a way, you're tapping into a similar thing.
Well, probably no. The gist of my last book is that, as you said, you cannot ignore the weight of emotion. But emotions, for me, are like cholesterol. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. Mm. There are positive emotions and negative emotions. When you see Jesse Jackson crying at the very moment Barack Obama is elected President of the United States, you see positive emotions at work. When, by contrast, you are in Mumbai, you see terrorists seizing hostages. These are negative emotions. And what I've been trying to do is to say, well, we've been looking at emotions totally dominated by the images of Nuremberg and the pagan, barbarian masses of the Nazi regime. Well, maybe we should revisit emotion, and maybe we don't have a choice but to revisit emotion. But there can be positive emotions, and I'm trying to map the world through emotions.
It is interesting, in a way, you're saying emotions matter personally, and they matter in this public policy international relations area, because no one would doubt that emotions matter personally, I don't think. But what it seems to me you're proposing is that we ought to devote quite a lot more respect and intellectual curiosity to how nations and big ethnic groups can almost, emotions come to grip them as well.
Yes, I think there are collective emotions. I mean, at some point when I was touring for my book in the United States, someone asked me, but would you consider yourself as a psychoanalyst of the state? And of course, I have done no study in psychology, or and even less in psychoanalysis. But I was always convinced that you could analyze collective entities such as state, nation, as you do analyze individuals, that you cannot understand China or India today without trying to see what is behind their huge economic success. It is confidence, a confidence that comes from a culture of hope. And you cannot understand the situation in Europe today, the debates about the minarets, the launching of debates about identity, what is national identity, that has been started in my country without making reference to the culture of fear, fear of the other. Am I losing my identity? Am I losing my Frenchness because more and more Muslims are living in my country? So this is what I wanted to analyze in a comparative way, while asking a question: what should we do to contain negative emotions such as fear and humiliation, and to increase positive emotions such as hope?
Well, I want to come back to that nice constructive approach, but given that you didn't in that little group analyse humiliation, which is what you're proposing sort of is a characteristic of the world of Islam at the moment, there's this devastating quote at the very start of your book: globalisation is great, but it is not for us. We are not Asians or Westerners. We won't make it. We can't be part of it. And that was at a conference set up, a school of management had set it up by the kings of Morocco and Saudi Arabia in the Atlas mountain city of Ifran, just west of Fez in Morocco. And clearly that had a profound impact on you.
Yes, and I was back into Morocco a few weeks ago. I went to another conference in Marrakesh, and I could sense the uneasiness and the humiliation of the young Americans surrounding us, the group of Westerners, affluent, confident, and they were not. I mean, the discrepancies between them and us in their country was simply too great, too imponent, and I felt very bad. I felt very unsettled again.
And did you detect any breakouts? Like, could you see some outlier types who were trying to break through, or had this really settled on them all? Because these were obviously some very bright young people.
Oh, yes, definitely. But when I went back to Marrakesh again, I could see in the eyes of the young people I was meeting in the streets that sense of frustration. What is our future? Can we make it? In a way, as Frenchmen, we have nearly recolonized through tourism a city like Marrakesh. Is it healthy in the long run that there should be two categories of citizens living next to each other?
Yes. Dominic Moisey is my guest on this final Live Saturday Extra program for 2009 from the French Institute for International Relations, speaking about his very interesting new book, The Geopolitics of Emotion. Okay, let's talk about hope, which you say characterises the region of Asia in which we live. And I think it's very much an emotion you could associate with Australia. You feel, when you visited there, you felt a very different feeling to that which you feel in your own country.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, suddenly Australia is conquered, so to speak, by our geography. It's the West in Asia, but the hope of Asia has prevailed over the fear of the West. It is an optimistic country. And in fact, from that psychological point of view, you are in the right place at the right time.
And I think I've read that, in fact, you detected the type of open-minded, open-eyed, looking forward to the future in parts of Asia that you imagine was in, say, the Europe, in an earlier, you know, maybe 100 years ago, that we really were talking about paradigm shifts here.
Yes, I'm thinking in terms of cycles. I mean, the Western world was the world of enlightenment. It was the world of hope. And hope has been moving, shifting from west to east. We have lost the monopoly for models, which we thought we had.
Interestingly, sorry to interrupt you, but you exclude Japan from
yes.
your... Why?
Well, because Japan was, for the West, the symbol of Asian modernity. But Japan was hopeful in the 60s, in the 70s, and in the early 80s. Today, Japan represents the culture of fear of the West in the Asian world. They have not surmounted their crisis of confidence, which exploded with the housing bubble at the end of the 1980s. Mm. And no, in fact, in emotional term, Japan is not in Asia. Japan is in the Western world.
Mm. Let's get back to that constructive element that you do try to introduce. How can humiliation be overcome? How can fear be quelled? How can hope be shared?
Well, how do you regain confidence in yourself when you've lost it? How do you gain the sense that you have a future, that you can be in control of that future? And I think the recipes I give to the various actors I cover are very different. I mean, there must be some sense of progress in the Arab Islamic world. There must be a sense that...
You mean symbolic and real, do you?
Symbolic and real. That may come through the prospect of a peace negotiation that can be successful in the Middle East. That can come through the success of what I call the confettis of hope, that are the Gulf Emirates, not Dubai, but Abu Dhabi and Qatar and Oman, for example. In Europe, that means that somewhere we will be able to go beyond our present identity quest. And in America, the message of hope has clearly been incarnated by the election of Barack Obama. I mean, he was the candidate of the party of hope against the party of fear. And, of course, it's much too early to say whether it will succeed or not. But how do you regain confidence in yourself? How do you instill in your population the sense that you can do it too?
Given that we're all awaiting the outcome of Copenhagen, what do you say about emotions around climate change?
Well, that the fear is, for the moment, dominating hope, and that we have not found the recipes for reinventing governance for a global age. But it may be that the failure of Copenhagen, if it occurs, will give the floor to a new generation of leaders who tomorrow will not accept to be bogged down by a policy of national compromises and the struggle for the defense of national interest beyond the declaration of love for the planet.
Well, I hope you're right. That's a very interesting diagnosis. Dominic Moisey, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I gather your book has been published in a lot of languages, so it's obviously striking some sort of chord.
Well, I'm very happy to see that the Chinese, the Russian, the Japanese, and all in all nearly 20 countries have chosen to translate the book. So it showed that it touched a chord, an emotional chord.
Dominic Moisey, thank you very much indeed. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank Thank you very much.
Dominic Moisy. He's the founder and senior advisor of the French Institute for International Relations. And his most recent book, which is another nice small one, in case you're sort of buying things at the last minute, is called The Geopolitics of Emotion, How Cultures of Fear, Humiliation and Hope Are Reshaping the World. And it's a Doubleday publication, very accessible.